This is Resurrection Sunday. And the Bible says that Jesus, think about this now, before Jesus went to the cross, he knew where he was going. The Bible says that because of the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross and despised the shame of the cross. Because of the joy that was set before him. In other words, there must have been something that he's seen. He's seen the end from the beginning. He's seen what was going to happen by him going to the cross. He's seen what was going to take place and what it would mean for mankind. And that caused great joy to be in him. And he said, it was because of that joy I was able to endure the cross. I wish you and I could look at the joy of coming out of a trial. I wish you and I could think of the joy and be focused on the joy of what we learn, of what God teaches us by coming through a trial. It'd be a whole lot easier going through the trial. There's so many things that I could share about some of the things that trials of life that I experienced over the years and how difficult times, and I think I could have been more joyful going through some of them. It's difficult going through a trial and being joyful. Have you ever noticed that? I think that's why James said, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations or divers trials. He said, count it, consider it joy. He had to exhort us to do that because he knew it was difficult for us to go through those times. But if we can focus on the joy of what we learn and the work that God does in us, I think it'll help us go through trials. After all, the scripture says that he turns all things out for good, or he works all things for good in our lives to those who love him and to those who are called according to his purpose. So Jesus was a man that knew the joy of coming through and coming out on the other side. He knew what the joy of resurrection. He understood that there was a joy that was going to come out of suffering. I don't completely understand all that, but I read enough testimonies to know what God worked through people's lives when they went through suffering, to know that there is joy. Although there may be tears in the nighttime, but the joy is coming in the morning. Now, I'm not saying that we all have to suffer and that God wants to put us through suffering, that God puts us through suffering. I don't believe that. That's not part of my belief, that God makes us suffer so that he can do something good in this. No, I don't believe he does that. But somehow we wind up in a place of suffering sometimes, and he says, look, I'm going to use this for your good. I'm going to use it. You got to suffer anyway. It seems like that we're going through. And this is what I said many times when I was going through a trial. Look, God, I'm going through it anyway. So you might as well use it. Whatever you can get out of this, get it. Because I don't want to go through this and end up with nothing. Amen. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Yes. All right. I don't want to preach something that's not relevant today that we're not going through. We want to think about the joy that the Lord sets before us. Now, Jesus said, I have come, and Mike already mentioned this, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Boy, I could preach right now on the word life and what Jesus came to give us. That is something that's awesome. This Zoe, this God kind of life that imparts to us that this life as the way God has it, not just a human life, something beyond humanity, something that God breathes into us that gives us a ability to be able to enjoy the God kind of life. The life that constantly breathes life and imparts life to others. He said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And resurrection morning, it is a sign of new life coming forth. And we want to talk about new life. Because when something is over, and this is the scripture that I talked about on Good Friday, the words, it is finished. And I started talking about the fact that when anybody realizes that something is finished, something is done, something is over, in which Jesus said, it is finished. What was finished? Well, he said, I did not come to do away with the law, but to fulfill the law. So there was something about the law that was taken care of. Everything man had to do in the law, Jesus did it, and he was the only one that did it too. But he did it perfectly. And he said, it is finished, which opened the door for something new to come. Jesus then came, and he brought something brand new. When something is finished, something new begins. When something is over, something else starts. You know, we go through our education, go through high school. After you're done high school, something, you can say, well, thank God, 12 years of this. Some people may be 14 years, who knows? But it doesn't make any difference. When it's over, Something else begins. It is finished. Something else begins. Well, you might start into university. And you go through university for a while, and then after you get your degree and you come out of that, you go and through the graduating class with everyone else, and then you come to a point of, it is finished. I've done that. Maybe it's a trade school. You've gone through a trade school. You went through your course. You took all the courses that you needed. You became a person who was able to do things effectively with your hands. Well, you go through that course and say, it is finished. Well, something else begins. You ask the question, what next? Well, then usually it's a job. Usually it's a position of some kind. Something always has to come after it is finished. I remember hearing a young lawyer one time who was just starting at a law firm, and an older gentleman asked him. He was just actually interning at a law firm. And this older partner of the firm said, so, what's your life plan? What do you plan to do in life? And he said, well, what are you doing after, you know, this interim? What then? And the man said, well, I intend to start my own law firm. And he said, oh, well, that's good. And said, what then? And he said, well, I intend to gather enough lawyers and workers and so forth that they get enough clients that I expect to be quite wealthy, actually. And then he said, then the older man said, then what? What then? And then he said, well, he said, then I believe I'm going to be able to retire as a wealthy man by the time I'm 60 years old. That's my plan. I'm going to enjoy life before that, but at 60 years old, I'm going to retire. And the older man said, what then? And he said, well, I'm going to go and I'm going to retire and I'm going to enjoy my years, my golden years in retirement. I'm going to have enough finances and wealth to enjoy my golden years. And then the older man said, what then? Then he said, the younger man was starting to get a little bit nervous now. He said, what then? He said, well, I expect I'll get old and I might end up in a nursing home. And then the older lawyer said, and what then? And then the younger man said, well, then I guess I'll die. And the older man said, and what then? Interesting question. And what then? What's going to take place? Because something is going to begin. Even at that, when we die, it ain't over. When we die, something takes place. When we go through all life, when we come to that place, we have to answer the question, what then? What is going to happen? And as we talk about Resurrection Sunday this morning, it's a glorious time. It is new life. Unless a seed die, it abides alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. And your life is no different than a seed many times. And when we give our lives, when we lay down our lives, other people can partake of our lives and new life begins to come forth. And so in talking about Resurrection Sunday, it is very difficult to talk a lot about the new life without talking about those who are still dead in their trespasses and sins, who need to come to life. Though, because Jesus gave us a commission to bring the gospel to those who do not know him, to those who have yet to experience resurrection life. You and I, if we're born again this morning, you and I have actually experienced what has taken place, what this day represents. We've actually experienced the born again experience. We've actually experienced resurrection life because the Bible says that we were dead in our trespasses and sins. But God made us alive through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to God. What a reason to celebrate Resurrection Sunday. Hallelujah. And I've been praying, asking God for discernment and praying and seeking his direction in being able to see things clearly and as even be able to see things in the natural that's representing something supernatural. Because I believe that most of the time we see things in the natural is only because it represents something supernatural. What do I mean by that? I mean, we have natural love for one another because there is such a thing as spiritual love for one another. There's a natural cry of our hearts. There's a spiritual cry as well that goes forth. There are things that take place in the natural that represent the spiritual realm. And I'm amazed how Hollywood has caught on to that. I'm amazed at how Hollywood, in many cases, they bring out movies that actually depict what is really going to happen and is happening today. You will remember, some of you at least remember the 1996 Independence Day movie. How many of you remember that Independence Day movie? A number of yous. There's a portion of that movie that I think, man, this so depicts the journey that you and I are on. I want you to think about this as things about it that I want you to catch. And it really depicts how people are in bondage. And in this one scene, when Will Smith, I don't know the other guy's name, and they're caught up in this world of demonic, I'll put it that way, and they're physically caught. But what happens is something takes place. There's an onslaught against the enemy, and suddenly they're loose. And then they begin on their way out of that demonic realm to freedom. And what happens is they just barely make it. As they're going out, there's something happening. There's war all around, which speaks to me about the fiery darts of the wicked one that is trying to come against the children of God and the people of God, trying to kill them, trying to wipe them out. And they're maneuvering and trying to get out. And what happens, of course, they just barely get out. What happens after that is interesting, and it shows very clearly almost God's plan, or what God has designed, is that they get out of that. God's people, they suddenly get out of that. I mean, they're the heroes of the movie, but I'm not suggesting that they live godly lives or anything like that, but just for the sake of what I'm trying to explain here, we'll look upon them as God's people coming out of that, and then something happens to that evil world. It is completely destroyed. And someday, that's exactly what's going to happen. Someday, God's people are going to come under a total hand of protection of God, and then there's something going to happen. The Bible talks about a new heaven and a new earth. The old earth had been passed away and everything that's on it. And so it talks about burning up like fire. Gives us a demonstration of God's end time events. And we can learn from this if our spiritual eyes are open. To me, that depicts our saving, being saved from a demonic force. Now, you can say, Pastor Bill, you're a little bit strange and you're looking into spiritual things a little bit too much. But you know what? I am convinced that when you've seen those people in that flying saucer, whatever it was, and the enemy was shooting fiery darts at them, trying to destroy them, I'm convinced you and I are living in just, if not more, dangerous world than what that shows. Because there is an enemy arrayed against us. And you and I, when it's one thing to come into the kingdom of God, it's one thing to be born again, it's one thing to be, we're free, or I'm loose, we're loose, I think is what he said. It's one thing to be loose. Suddenly we're out from the bondage of the enemy. We have been set free from the bondage of the enemy. Now we still have to maneuver through this life, through this world, where the Bible says that the devil is the god of this world. And you and I are trying to maneuver through that. And so often we try to do it alone. We try to do it on our own. But God wants us to be able to make it through the opening alive. That even in this life, we don't get taken out before our time. He wants us to be able to be together, to help one another, so that in the process of going through this life, that we'll be able to still have it together. We need one another. You and I need one another to be able to get through the labyrinth of the enemy's warfare on our lives. And the scripture talks about the warfare that we're in. And in the midst of all that, you and I are called to set other people free. You and I are called to loose others. This day is a day of new beginnings. This day is a day of resurrection. This is a day of new birth. Think about it. Jesus was dead. Now, I'm convinced that on Friday, when the Bible says it is finished and he gave up the ghost, he died, and the Bible speaks about him going to hell, and I'm convinced that he defeated every demonic force in hell itself. And the Bible says that he paraded the whole works of them and showed all the forces that he had triumphed over them in it. He beat them. He took over. Why did he have to do that, and why are we still in spiritual warfare? Well, it is because Jesus had to go, and he had to pay the price in order for you and I, that we might be legally set free. You see, he had to lay the foundation down, that he had the legal right now to bring onto himself a people, for them to be able to have his life living on the inside of them. And when we become born again, that's what happens. His life comes to live on the inside of us and permeates through our very being so that others might be able to see it as well. But he had to do that first so that you and I could overcome the wicked one by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. So we have to have a testimony if we're going to walk in victory in this life. The enemy is continuing to throw fiery darts at you and I. And there are people taken out, unfortunately. But I thank God for new resurrection. Amen. New resurrection life. Are you sold out to live for Jesus? If you were taken before a judge and a jury, and you were accused of being sold out for Jesus, would there be enough evidence to convict you? That's an interesting question. Well, I go to church. There's lots of people go to church. I do good things. Lots of people do good things. Although, you know, God wants us to do good things, but that's not an indication that we're sold out to Jesus. Do we have a testimony? It is interesting. We baptized a man. I've been meeting with him and talking with him for a number of weeks now, and it always stirs me. And I've seen it in you, Janice, before. When people come to Christ and you begin to see God working in them, and you begin to see God moving in them and changing them, and as they begin talking about God and about spiritual things and about the things that they can't do anymore and the things that they're changing and the things that they're not comfortable with and how God is showing them these new things, you know that that is God, the new life, working on the inside of them. And it's wonderful to see. It's absolutely wonderful to see. Problem is, many times when people are maneuvering through that, the atmosphere, that there's so many darts going out that they get hit now and then, too often, and sometimes lose their zeal. And they begin to coast. I don't know. I think God gets upset with coasters. And I'm not talking about something we put a drink on. God gets upset with people who are just coasting. Why? Because he says, I want you to go up higher. And you know what? If you are going to go up higher anywhere, it takes effort. There was, how many people? 12 people killed this week climbing Mount Everest. They wanted to go up higher. They had an urge to go up higher. The guys that were killed were actually the ones preparing the way for others to go higher. And they were struggling, and an avalanche came and wiped at least 8 of them out. But since, I believe it was 1950s, there's over 4,200 people, I believe, that made it to Mount Everest. 256, I think, died trying. But yet those 4,200, they made it. But it with great effort. They had to put something into it. Well, whatever you see in the natural has a reflection of what needs to be done in the spiritual. So if God is taking us higher, then there is an effort. We have to be proactive at going higher with God. We have to be proactive in enjoying the resurrection life that Jesus came to give us. enjoying that life that resides on the inside of us, allowing him to reign in us, the new birth. You know, there's some churches don't even talk about the new birth. Some churches won't even mention the new birth. Why? Because there's some churches that think, well, I'm just a sinner and I'm always going to sin. I'm always going to be sinful. Well, we need to take a different look at that altogether. When you've been born again, when you've been created a brand new creature, when you have experienced resurrection life, Jesus didn't resurrect you as a sinful being. He created a brand new person. He created somebody that was capable of not sinning. He didn't say that we'd never sin again, but he created somebody who was capable of not sinning because of the power of the Holy Spirit that resides on the inside of us. But I still thank God for 1 John, where it says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So when we miss it, we can come and claim his forgiveness again. That's experiencing resurrection life. The body of the Lord Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead as an example. You have been raised from the dead. I have been raised from the dead. And we give glory to Jesus for it. And now he says, go out and demonstrate that life. Demonstrate the new life. Colossians 3:1 says, if then you have a new life with Christ, give your attention to the things of heaven where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Give your attention to the things of heaven. If you've been raised, if you have this new life, this is what he exhorts you to. Pay attention to heavenly things. What are heavenly things? Here on earth, it doesn't mean that you look over there and look at, oh yeah, there's streets of gold up there. It seems like the gates of Jerusalem, there's 12 awesome diamonds at each gate. And those are heavenly things, but he's not saying to focus all on that all the time. He's talking about focusing on the heavenly things that can be accomplished here on earth. The things that you and I can be concerned about while we're here on earth. Guess what? In heaven, they're concerned about people coming into the kingdom here on earth. They're concerned about people getting saved and brought into the kingdom of God. They're not concerned so much at all about how successful we are financially. How much we can build upon around ourselves or the homes that we have, if they're beautiful. They're not really concerned about it at all. But boy, when somebody comes into the kingdom of God, all the angels rejoice. That's a heavenly thing. And what did Jesus say? He said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things will be added unto us. Unfortunately, most of Christianity seeks first the things of this world. In other words, what can meet our needs, the things that can be supplied so that we can be more comfortable. I'm preaching to myself as I am to you. And I want us to really probably in this Resurrection Sunday take on a new paradigm about seeking first the kingdom of God. In other words, when you get up in the morning, you get up to do something. And usually it's to get breakfast just so you can get out to get to work. Well, what about getting up and saying, God, I need you to stir me about seeking the kingdom today. I need you to cause me to be aware of what I can do to seek the kingdom of God today. Because I trust you that if I will seek first the kingdom, that you will see that all my needs are met. If I will seek the kingdom first. This is what his desire. Set our eyes on things above or on heavenly things. And he will take care of the earthly things. He will move things into situations so that the things that we need on earth will be taken care of. I'm convinced that God wants us to drive nice cars. I'm convinced he wants us to live in nice homes. I'm convinced that he desires to give us good things. But I'm also convinced he doesn't want us to forget where they come from. That they're a gift from him. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. If it ain't good, it ain't God. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. And if it's good, it's God. We are to imitate Jesus. Peter said, remember how Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good. He wants us to do good, healing all who are oppressed of the devil. You and I cannot go along in our lives and continue to live our lives not paying any attention to the hopelessness that's out in the world, to the demonic forces that are ravaging people with sickness and disease, to the demonic forces that are splitting up families. I'm reminded right now of an experience I had just recently. I'm just being transparent with you this morning about it. I was downtown a couple of weeks ago, maybe it was a little more than that now, and I came around a corner, and I seen somebody standing there. Immediately, I thought in my mind, this person is going to ask me for something. I went around the corner, and then she called me to turn back, and she had a hood on. I looked at her, and I seen that she was obviously an addict, really in bad shape. She started to ask for something, and she mentioned something about her baby, his former baby. Well, it's really difficult to know. When people are in that condition, they ask anything. But these words come out of me and they've been haunting me ever since. I looked at her and I seen her and looked at her and said, I can't help you. I got in my car. I honestly didn't know what to do. And I got in my car and I was so convicted and I said, I don't ever want to have to say that again. My God, if God lives on the inside of the body of Christ today, if he lives on the inside of me, if I can't help them, who can? I've been praying to ask God to help me and I never have an experience like that again to do that. Somehow I'll do something. You know, you can all say, well, you should have did this, you should have did that. That went through my mind 100 times, but you weren't there. We all have experiences like that, that we say that, you know, if we'd do it again, we'd do it better next time. And what we, quote, should have done. But I've been asking God to change me. So I won't have to go away and say, this is what you should have done. That you would have done it. You would have somehow imparted resurrection life to a person who is in great need. And Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. He came to impart it to us. And then he said to us, this is a command. He said to us, freely you have received, now freely give. Somehow we need to look for streams to be able to give out this resurrection life that Jesus has brought into our lives. We need to be able to become effective in this area. And I'm asking you to meditate on that, to think about it. Ask God what you could do individually, but also ask God what we could do as a body of believers. And let me know. Maybe there are some things that you and I can do as a body of believers that would make an impact on the lost and dying world around us so that they could experience resurrection life. I don't want to be an individual or I don't want to be a part of a church who talks about all the blessings of God and the things that God wants for us and continually keep talking about how God wants us blessed and at the same time forget about those who are still in darkness. The enemy has blinded the eyes of the unbelievers that they might not see the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you and I are to pray that that blindness would come down so that they would be able to see the new life that's available to each and every one of them. Jesus Christ is Lord. He died for you and me. He brought you out of the pit. Now he's desiring to bring others out as well. Stand with me, please. Glory to God. I do want to sing that song, Our Redeemer Lives, because I want to make much of the fact that our Redeemer lives. He's alive today. And you live because he lives. If he was still in the grave, be in the grave, so would you and I be. You and I would be still in darkness. You and I would be still in the throes of death, real death, which is spiritual death. But now, because he lives, you and I have been set free. I want us to sing this morning, but I also want us to, I want you to ask Holy Spirit, how can you demonstrate the resurrected life that you have in you?